it would honestly be awesome if I can continue to kind of rise up the rankings in this industry, because then the community can say like he's one of us. Like that, I think that would be a pretty cool thing. And
welcome back to the Outfield Podcast, episode 31. Sorry it took 7 months to get this one out. That one was on me. But instead of thinking about what hasn't happened, let's think about what's going to happen. I'm going to talk to somebody today. You might not know this person yet, but I'm happy you're going to be introduced to them. It's a broadcaster, somebody I've gotten to know pretty well because we're technically colleagues. I might be stretching the definition of colleagues here very slightly. Josh Eastern, if you have not heard of him, you've been missing out listening to USL Championship, League One, NWSL, many, many leagues that I'm familiar with, and hopefully some of you are also familiar with too. Hey, Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me, Matt.
I am stretching the definition of colleagues because the last time I worked where you worked was 2019. Now, it was going to happen during the pandemic, but then, you know, stupid coronavirus thing.
I guess technically
that we could still call ourselves colleagues, but I guess I'm stretching the definition of that.
You can call us whatever you'd like. How about that?
That's fair enough. All right. So, Josh, because a lot of people might not know who you are, tell everyone a little about yourself if they're just getting introduced to you for the first time.
Yeah. So I am a play-by-play broadcaster, as you rightly said. I work in the USL Championship, USL League One, and NWSL. I'm doing some CONCACAF works. I'm working the PHF as well, which is the Women's League here in the United States for hockey, and I guess a couple of teams in Canada. I'm based out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I do almost everything remotely. So it's kind of a fun little twist on broadcasting, but everything remotely. But I absolutely love it, and it's kind of a dream job. So I feel lucky to be in the spot that I am.
It's a very fun job when you get to do it. And remote broadcasting isn't as much fun as people make it out to be. I could just say it because, we've worked in the same spot. And mm-hmm. I love it, but it can be a challenge. But I have said on this show before that my alternative show for this, when I started it, was going to be a sports broadcasting show. And then I realized that nobody wants to hear about spotting charts for an hour. So this is much more interesting. You know that, right? You don't want to talk about making charts. That's not very
fun. Yeah, that's all right. Hey, some people like to hear it.
I don't know who those people are, and I would like to speak with them. As much as I love broadcasting, there are times when I don't really want to talk about it very much. But for you, and also because there are just not many out broadcasters. Like, there are out people in sports media. Most of them are writers. There are other people around the sports media space that are out. But the broadcasters are very, very few. And I've probably interviewed all of them. So after you're done, I think I've exhausted that well.
Oof. Well, I'm sorry I'm a little late to the party then.
No, you're fine. You only came out last year. That's not a big concern. Eventually, more will come along, but you know, we picked a very specific business here, and so we have to do some breaking of ground. It's all right.
Sure.
So, I wanted to, because there's a lot I've known about you, obviously, because we've worked in the same place, and I've listened to your work very good, obviously. But there's a lot more I don't know about you, and I'm getting to talk to you really for the first time about this. So, tell everybody a little bit about where you grew up and how you got into this wonderful world of sports media.
Yeah, so I grew up in Seattle, Washington, or just outside Seattle, but the Pacific Northwest, absolutely love that area of the country, of the world. I will vouch for that area of the country any time of day, any time of year. But after I finished high school, whatever, got into Indiana University. That's where I spent my 4 years of undergrad, I know.
Indiana, Maryland has to be the rivalry. You know, it's just, it's
absolutely not, but that's all right.
Well, Purdue doesn't have sports broadcasting, so there you are.
Fair. Okay, that's fair. At least in a Big Ten sense. How about that? Yeah.
In a Big Ten sense.
I actually
work
with quite a few Maryland Terrapins as well.
Of course you do.
As well. Yeah.
I know most of them. It's funny how that works.
Yeah. So I spent my 4 years there. When I got to Indiana, I originally thought I was just going to be a writer. I had kind of started writing just before I had gotten to college, just for kind of some random websites, mostly baseball and that sort of stuff. But when I got to IU, I was like, wow, like this men's soccer team is awesome. Like, I want to cover this men's soccer team. So I started out as kind of a writer for them, worked for the newspaper. And then I kind of got into broadcasting through the radio station, BTN Student Youth. So I kind of did it all, I'd like to say. And I'm also proud to say, I think I'm, at least in a student sense, like the only student that's ever broadcasted three consecutive Little 500. So very excited about that. If you don't know what the Little 500 is, go look it up. It's the world's best college weekend. But after I went to Indiana, I was just kind of looking for jobs. And honestly, this job just kind of popped up on Indeed.com of all places. Super, super random. But, you know, everybody kind of has their own path, their own way of getting to where they are. And that's kind of my path. So it's not the most linear path. I don't think anybody's path is, but that's just kind of how I've gotten to where I am today.
That's the first time I've ever seen a job listing site working in sports broadcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. It was,
you might have
it
the only successful random. Story in that regard.
I mean, I'd like to think I'm not the only one, but I mean, it's just super random how it happened. And I'm grateful for it though, of course.
Obviously be very grateful because I mean, you can people bend over backwards with connections and all of it and get nowhere. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about the ins and outs of sports broadcasting here, because that's not why you are here. But
sure.
as I say, everybody's path is different in this business, and it's a fun path. So just talk a little bit about, obviously, just being, well, you're in Seattle. There's a lot of good sports in Seattle, and there's a pretty mm-hmm. good soccer team in Seattle as well. So I don't think you, as you said, like, were you into soccer before? Because now that's what you do mostly is soccer.
Right.
But were you into it more when you were younger? Is it something that you just eventually kind of gathered when you got to IU, or was it something you actually had before then? Because if you were going to be into soccer as a young child, one of the good places to be for that is Seattle.
Yes. I mean, I definitely played soccer growing up. It definitely was not my top sport. My top sport was baseball. I love baseball. That's like my ultimate hobby. So like, I don't know even if I want to work in baseball. I mean, if I get the chance, I'd love it. But I mean, that's like something I love to go to a game. I'm a big Mariners fan. I don't know if I want to ruin that by getting into that sort of business. But I don't know. I kind of got into soccer. Obviously, 2010 World Cup was huge. Landon Donovan goal. That's like the first big soccer memory for me as a kid. And then I started to get into the Premier League. I went to England for the first time in 2014. So right after the World Cup when Germany won. And I was kind of getting into it then. I knew obviously the Sounders were a thing. But as you kind of said, it was when I got to IU. That's when I really got into it. And I started to make connections there with obviously coaches and just getting to know the people around that program. And then it just kind of snowballed from there into where I am today. And it was kind of just great timing. That's also another part of broadcasting that you need on your side is timing, because USL League One was created in 2019, which is the year I graduated college. So if not for that league being created that year, who knows where I'd be right now. But I guess the timing has all worked out. So that's kind of how I got into soccer, and now I'm a soccer nerd. So, and I'm okay with it.
Well, you're broadcasting some of the greatest events in soccer history, random CONCACAF events on a Tuesday night from Panama.
Yeah.
There is no higher prize in soccer broadcasting than calling Toro yeah. versus Alianza. I just picked two.
There you go.
Got my head.
No, I mean I've definitely called both those teams many times.
I was trying to think of what two teams have definitely been in CONCACAF events that are pretty obvious, and again, you have to be some level of soccer nerd to be able to just pull that. Or
yeah,
I would
yeah.
use the term sicko as well.
Yeah, but that's fair.
Yeah, that's fine. I love it too.
I was just in Costa Rica actually, just for a vacation, and the main airport in Costa Rica is in Alajuela, which is the same town as Alajuelense.
Mm-hmm.
So during my trip one morning, I was like, I need to go see this stadium. So I literally took an Uber, went to go see the stadium, and I was like, wow, this is real. And it's not just through a TV screen. This is actually a thing.
Yep. It's not just through some shaky cam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. The glory of beautiful Costa Rican soccer. How about Saprissa? Did you do that? I promised we wouldn't get too soccer nerdy in here, and I completely ignored that in the first five
minutes.
No,
no, no. That was the only stadium I saw. I did not want to make it a soccer vacation. I was in the rainforest and at the beach, so that was the extent of that.
Fair enough. You got to get away from it at some point. So
yeah.
Let's talk about the main reason why you're here, because as we say, there are not many out sports announcers. I'm one of them, you're one of them, and I can think of maybe three others off the top of my head, and that's probably about it. Hopefully I'm wrong and there are more. But talk about that journey a little bit, because you only came out a year ago, and we'll get into that. But that journey also coincides with growing up as a sports fan. And for many people, those two things, when you get on those two paths, there's a little dissonance going on there. So talk about that part of your journey.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly, and I don't know, I mean, it wasn't anything that was like on my brain until I guess I got out of college, I would say, because when I was in college, I felt like I was just kind of grinding. I was like, I mean, I tried to do so much of everything. Like I created a website with four of my college roommates. I was doing all the stuff at IU that a normal college kid would do. And it wasn't really on my brain. But then when I moved down to Florida, that's when it started to kind of kick in a little bit more. I was like, okay, like maybe this is a thing, because I was living by myself. So it was more of like personal exploration, if you will, because I never had that opportunity when I was just by myself. I had to kind of go find things to do for myself. And it was actually, I think it was very good for myself to actually kind of get out and go to a place where I didn't know basically anybody. When I moved to Florida, I knew not one soul down here. Now I'd like to think I have a decent group of friends, at least just through work, but that was part of the journey that I wasn't necessarily expecting. And it almost kind of surprised me at a certain point that I was like, wow, like, okay, like this is maybe a thing that I can be an out broadcaster. And that's an acceptable thing in 2023 or 2021 when I came out. But it was definitely a lot of personal exploration. I didn't necessarily, and I've talked to some other people about this, but it's interesting that I feel like I wanted to set a base for myself and almost have, I want to say like job security, but I wanted to be in a place where I was comfortable. And when I came down here and working with the people at Vista World Link, I felt a sense of really strong comfort that allowed me kind of the basis to then come out. Because before that, if I was searching for a job, I'm curious, and I don't know how others have gone through this, if they still aren't out yet, but if they don't necessarily have a job and they're looking to get into this business, if that would almost hold them back from wanting to come out. So I feel like I'm in the grateful position in that I had good job security. I had good people around me that would accept me when I came out. And of course, I think soccer more than any other sport is one of the more inclusive sports in terms of the LGBTQ plus community. You see pride flags at almost every soccer game in this country. So I feel like with all those reasons, it kind of came to a head, and I was like, all right, like I feel comfortable doing this. And obviously I'm very glad I have, and I felt super comfortable and confident ever since.
What's interesting is it sounds a lot like me, because when I was doing this, I realized more about myself earlier, but you don't recognize these things on any given timeline. It can happen whenever you want. Well, whenever you want, but also whenever it happens. And for me, I kind of thought the same thing. I wasn't thinking hugely, you know, about these things, but I knew in college, probably I didn't understand it, but I was doing the same thing. You know, you're working, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to cover things, you're trying to call things. And then when you get out, and I obviously graduated 3 years before you did, you think about jobs and you think about, oh, do I really want to go to this small town in place that might not be accepting? Because not only will I not feel comfortable, they might not feel comfortable. And it's a thing that you think about constantly, because a lot of sports broadcasting, your path, obviously, it's great that we now have a soccer path, but for most people, and if you were in baseball, you definitely would have noticed this. You would have gone to, guess the small town somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe you get lucky, maybe you didn't. I mean, and that's a thing that you really don't, like, I didn't want to play with that, you know? And I wasn't out for the first couple years. And then eventually I said, I'm sick and tired of this, and I have to do it. And eventually I just did. But, you know, but even when I did it, the number of people who were out in this space was, I don't even remember. And that was 4.5 years ago. So I truly think that it's a new path for a ton of people. And
absolutely.
And I think when it comes to broadcasters, like the only time you really care about them, or you should care about them, is, you know, you just want people to have a good call. And except if you're in the middle of a flight of rage and you're yelling at Joe Buck on Twitter because you think he's biased about your team. But other than that, like, most of us realize we're not the reason why you're watching a game. But
correct,
you're a part of the experience. And I think coming into your own in that way and cutting a path where it's basically just a bunch of white guys, you know, it's a bunch of straight white guys, let's be honest, very little diversity in the common broadcast booth. It's a little bit different now with soccer, and it's a little bit different now as we have branched out a little further. But I think also when I did it, I said, okay, I have to do this not just for me, but there are going to be somebody after me who's going to see this and go, okay, maybe he could do it. And I can do it too, even if his career isn't really that successful at the moment. And I wonder what you thought, because at that point, like when you got there, this is 2019, and at that point, I don't know if, was there anybody at that point? I think there were a few. I mean, I was there and nobody has cited me as an inspiration yet, which I'm not going to take offense to that. That's fine. But in your case, like, did you think it was possible to do both of these things? Because it took a little while once you got there to figure it out. And once you did, at that point, did you think, as I said, did you think it was possible to be both?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily on my mind when I moved down here initially. But I guess as time went on, I mean, so much happened through the pandemic. Because I moved down here to Florida right after I graduated college, May of 2019. Obviously, the pandemic then started less than a year after that. So things were kind of going all over the place. It was a crazy time. And I think it was that sort of time that gave me kind of the outlet to be able to think about those things. And then when I came back to Florida in 2020, I was like, and this was in the summer, kind of after I went back to Seattle, because I was like, I don't want to sit in a small apartment for the next like 3-4 months. So I went home. But I think when I came back to Florida, that was when I started to think about it maybe a little bit more. And then it was just over a year after where I ended up coming out to friends and family, and then of course publicly. But it wasn't necessarily anything on my mind until it was really like pressing. Like I told my family first. That was in the summer of 2021, came out then in like October of 2021. But it wasn't necessarily on my mind. I was like, you know what, if they don't want me, they'll get rid of me. And you know what, if that's how it goes, that's great. Everybody has their own path. But it goes back to my point that I was talking about a few minutes ago, in that I felt super comfortable with the people around me. And that was a big reason why I felt I could come out. Because if I was in a place, like you said, if I was in the middle of nowhere, I mean, there's a lot of corners of this country where I wouldn't be accepted, where you wouldn't be accepted, where we wouldn't be accepted. But I felt like where I was in the sport I was broadcasting, in the space I was broadcasting, even in the area I am, I'm in Fort Lauderdale, which is, I feel like you're in Florida. So, I mean, how you can't get away from that side of things. But I mean, like Wilton Manors is right up the street. Like that's a great neighborhood. Like,
I was going to let you bring that up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very like inclusive area. So I felt very comfortable in that fact. And I almost didn't think about the work side of it. It was, what am I going to do with the personal side of it outside of work? Obviously my job is a big part of me. And I'm okay with that because I love what I do. So it was a bit of a balancing act of when I first realized that I was like, all right, I'm going to come out. Like this is going to be a thing. Then I started to think of whether it was going to cause any issues of getting jobs later on down the line. But like I said, and I'll keep coming back to it, because I felt so comfortable where I am. I didn't even think about it. I was like, you know what, this is who I am. So let's go do it.
Was it a moment where you said, I have to do this publicly, but also like when you're thinking about coming out to people privately, obviously, was there a moment where you figured like, I have to do this at some point and now's the time? Or is it just something, as you said, like for some people, this sits with them for years and you agonize over it and you go through the hoops mentally. But for you, it just seems like, oh, this just sort of happened and I have to do it at some point. So what part of your evolution, I guess, personally was like, yeah, it's time to do this.
I mean, I'd like to think I'm pretty healthy, both physically and mentally, but there was definitely a part of the mental side of it where I was like, you know what, like, I'm just going to be a lot happier if I do this. Like, I'm just holding this in. It's not good for me. I'm like sneaking around, whatever. It's like that. I just didn't feel right. So I went home for a week in July in 2021. And that's when I told my family. They were all super accepting, which was great. And then it took me still like 3 or 4 months after that to come out publicly. And it was actually interesting. So my social media, I keep my Instagram private. I just want to keep that side of things private. I want to post about whatever I want to post about. And then Twitter is more of my professional side of things. So I came out initially on Instagram. So that's only like whatever, like however many followers I have on Instagram. So I was just kind of keeping it within the friends and the people that follow me there. And then a couple days later, I was like, all right, like let's just make this public and like, let's just go all out. And so I was like, all right, like now it's done. Like that's in the past. And honestly, like the days and weeks after that, I just felt like infinitely happier. It was just a great thing mentally for me just to kind of put it out there. I was going into the end of the season of what I was doing last year with soccer, and it just felt like the right time for everything. I mean, like everything happens for a reason. The timing just kind of worked out for me, and that's just kind of how it went. So I didn't really think of the outside effects too much of it. I was just like, this is going to be what's best for me. So I went and did it.
Any interesting reactions from friends and family when you came out? Any particular stories that stood out to you? Because, you know, when you're coming out to your friends, and presumably you had a very similar group of friends in college that I had, we're all sports people, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of wonder, wait, how is this going to go? It's college, it's Indiana, it's probably all right. But, you know, there's a part of you that always wonders when your entire life is sports, and you know the kind of people that are into sports, and you know the kind of people that sometimes are in sports media, you know, or at least think they want to be in sports media. Sometimes you have that little question in the back of your head. You know, I never questioned family, and I didn't even really question my friends. And I think most people in our space don't have that. But then there's also going to be a moment when you think for a second, okay, maybe something here could get a little bit, I don't want to say dicey, because that's not the right word, but could be more tricky than I would like.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly feel very fortunate in the fact that I received all positive feedback, which I feel very fortunate about. But that also goes back to the people I surround myself with, in that if I kind of get the sense that this person is not kind of believing the same things I believe and won't respect me, I just will decide not to spend time with them. I mean, that's just kind of who I am. I want to spend time with people that care about me, that I care about as well. So I honestly didn't really receive any negative feedback, and that was very big for me. They'll always be the people on Twitter, but I haven't even had any of those issues. I don't think I've ever reached a high enough level for that yet. But I mean, there's always the friends that text you right away, and I mean, those are the people that of course are closest to me, and like right when I posted on, I posted on Instagram, and I received a call like 2 minutes later from one of my best friends. And like that meant a lot. That was like right off the bat. It was like, wow. Like I think a few people were surprised just because of the fact that we're in this business, and you've said it a few times, like you can probably count on your hands how many out broadcasters there are. There's not many.
Well, in terms of play by play, as I said, I think I've interviewed pretty much all of them now.
Yeah. So it's not a big group of people. And I guess at this point, that's fine. And hopefully that number increases. If it doesn't, that's also fine. But it was just one of those things where I felt comfortable in the fact I didn't feel any negative feedback. I got a lot of positive feedback, and that was very important to me.
So when I now ask you about calling these games, and because of the games you're calling, you have called games with other out broadcasters, including podcast guests like Lori Lindsay, who I have had on mm-hmm. the show before, and among others, and out players, because you've done NWSL plenty. You've done USL Championship, and there is obviously an out player there. And I'll get to hockey in a second, because that's a different animal. But for you, to being a rare out broadcaster, and also a rare male out broadcaster, to be calling games with these players, you're calling OL Reign games with Megan Rapinoe. Like, that's pretty damn cool, we have to say. Mm-hmm. Something I want to do. And for you, I think there's something pretty neat in that. You know, when you're able to say, hey, I'm calling like a game and Colin Martin's playing in it as an out broadcaster with an out player, this wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. That's pretty cool. And I think that's also kind of the neat experience that I haven't exactly had yet. But for you, I mean, that's also got to be pretty thrilling and fortunate because you're able to do these games where this is possible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you make a good point, and thank you for that. But I mean, honestly, like it does cross my mind, but I honestly probably don't read into it as much as I probably should. I mean, it's like damn cool that like I get to call games, as you said, Megan Rapinoe's in it. There's so many out players in the leagues that I do call. But it's just kind of, it's just my job. I mean, like that's how I think of it. I don't really think of it as anything much more than that yet, but I mean, it's not something that's like hit me yet. I don't know how to exactly phrase it, but to have you say all those things, I mean, like that makes me feel pretty proud of myself that I was, that I did come out and I'm still in this position to be able to call all these awesome athletes that are out and even work with former athletes that are also out. As you said, Lori Lindsay's awesome to work with, and she just got a great job with MLS. So it's definitely not lost on me, but maybe it hasn't quite hit me as much as maybe it should at this point.
Well, because when these are names on an Excel spreadsheet, you know, and you're busy trying to identify players off a giant television screen, it doesn't hit you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you do a lot of them. And if people don't know where we work, you can do a lot of games in a very short amount of time. And so the amount of time you have to think about these individualized moments of, oh, I'm calling a game with Megan Rapinoe in it, you don't think about that too much because you might have a game in another 2 hours. So when you're doing that, these moments can kind of go by without you thinking about it. But when you get a chance to sit and think about, you know, these moments in sport, like they do matter. Even if they don't matter, you know, to a national, you know, sense, this is not, you're not yet, at least, you're not calling anything beyond what we've done. But as we get to the slow march towards some level of acceptance in a wider sense, these moments do matter, and they would matter, you know, personally. Like, that's why I've tried hard to get into doing these games, because I just want to be able to say that I did it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens in the future, you want to be able to say that you did it at least once. And for you, you've done it more than once. And these things do matter, you know? And it shows people out there who might be wanting to get into this, or people who are just watching, like, hey, this sport that treats me as an equal, that sees me as an equal, the people telling you the story of the game, the journalists and the broadcasters, are also part of the community. You don't usually get that when you're covering any sport, and that does matter.
Yeah. And I think maybe the reason it hasn't hit me as much as maybe it should is because of all those players and former players that are out in this sport. I think, I mean, soccer, as we've talked about, is a very accepting sport. You see pride flags all the time. I think maybe it would hit me a little bit more if I was doing football or basketball, where you don't see a lot of out players. I mean, there's obviously an out NFL player in Carl Nassib, but you don't see out broadcasters in those sports as much. You don't see out athletes in those sports as much, or at least publicly. So I think because of the sport I'm in, it hasn't really hit me as much, because it feels a little bit more normal, which is weird because there's still not a lot of out broadcasters. But if I was doing football, basketball, baseball, something like that, I think maybe that would have more of an effect on me, just because that would really be breaking ground, because it just hasn't happened a whole lot with LGBTQ plus people in those sorts of spaces. So I think the next few years it'll be interesting to see kind of where my career path takes me. But I guess kind of we'll just have to wait and see.
I think what's interesting for me is that, well, American soccer is a very different animal compared to soccer everywhere else.
100%.
I mean, we know the homophobia that's going on elsewhere in this sport, obviously. But I think maybe because in, as I said, in NWSL, it's just so part of the furniture, to use a Britishism that I know you've probably heard too. And because it's so, like, it's just accepted that this is a thing, no matter what's happened in NWSL in recent years, like, it's not something that's uncommon, so it doesn't feel that. And even with Colin Martin, like, he's been playing in USL Championship for a while now, so it doesn't feel as novel as it probably once did. And that's, but for me, I still remember, you know, saying I wanted to do these games and almost getting to do them and thinking about how cool it would be, because when I was thinking about, okay, who's broadcast these leagues and who's broadcast soccer in general in this country, I'm going and thinking to myself, nobody who's out yet. And the people who are calling these soccer games, they're, even if, you know, they're a different group of people, because you had to be a different kind of person to be wanting to be a soccer broadcaster up until recently, you're thinking to yourself, well, they're still kind of the same group that is, you know, broadcasting everything else. Now it's a little different because the voice of the Sixers is an out woman who, again, previous podcast guest, Kate Scott, wonderful human being. And, you know, it's a little different now, but it still doesn't feel all that different, except for the very specific place you're in when you're calling, you know, as I said, NWSL, a league where it's very, very common. And a place, as you said, in USL Championship where there is an out player and there's been an out player for a while. And that's just, again, maybe it's because that I've been thinking about this a lot more and longer than you have. But eventually it's something I think that you come to want, is to be able to be an out broadcaster and call games without people in it, just because it symbolizes something greater. And perhaps because I cover this, I do this podcast, it's something I've thought about more.
Sure. Yeah. And I think it's just because the time I've been out hasn't been a long time. It's been about not even a year and a half. So I think that's kind of part of the journey that I'm still sort of on, and I'm fine with that. Like, I don't need to rush into anything, but I don't know. I definitely feel like I'm still in a unique position. And as you kind of said earlier, if there's somebody else that isn't out yet that wants to go on this path, and they can see a couple of people that are kind of forging a path, I say, and like, that's the other thing. Like, it feels weird to say, like, I could be forging a path for somebody else, just because that's just like way above me. I don't even want to think about that. But maybe that's a thing. And if it is, like, that's fantastic. And I hope that I can just continue to do what I do. But that's what I'm gonna do. Just continue to kind of go to work every day, do the games that I have, and do the best that I can.
I want to ask you this question, because for some people, when you think about coming out, if you have at least a tiny platform, you think about doing it, you know, with OutSports or something, like, you just did it on your personal website, which there's no reason not to do it that way. Coming out is personal. You can do whatever you want. It's one of those things that, you know, I'm very much looking for these things all the time, and not much gets past me. But when you did it, I completely missed it. And someone told me this. It was a long time afterwards. And I'm like, oh, really? Did that happen? So,
yeah.
Why that? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think part of it was I just didn't want to make, like, I mean, obviously it's a very important, like, milestone, whatever word you want to use, but I just kind of wanted to do it on my own terms. And it wasn't that I had seen many stories on OutSports that of coming out and people kind of penning their own thing, but I just kind of want to do it on my own terms. There's no kind of rhyme or reason to it. It was just kind of, that's what I felt was right. I didn't want to make like a big public announcement. I mean, I guess that's what it turned out to be, since I still did write something. But I do think it was important for me to kind of put my thoughts down on my own terms in how I wanted to do it. I didn't want to have anybody else have any say. I just wanted to be kind of straight from me. And I, in the past, and maybe I definitely don't do it as much anymore. I haven't written a blog since my coming out story a couple of years ago, but I used to blog quite a bit, and I actually think it's important, and I kind of wish I still did, because it's writing, and now in the business I'm in, I think it was super important that I started as a writer, because you see your words on a screen, on a page, and that's kind of how you speak. And I wish I still wrote, because I think that would help me in terms of speaking, just even on this podcast. I mean, whether it be texting or even just writing emails, like you have your own kind of tone. So writing has always been kind of an important thing for me. And especially in the media kind of landscape, I think it's important that people do write and get their thoughts out there. So in the past, I had written blog posts just about kind of getting the opportunities that I was getting through college, because I never thought in a million years, like, I would have the opportunities to call Indiana basketball games, Indiana football games, go to the Big Ten tournament, those sorts of things. Like, those are pretty big events. But somebody told me in college, it was like, hopefully these aren't the biggest events that you're calling. So I always kind of had like those bigger goals. But kind of back to your question, I just want to do it on my own terms. It was my own personal website. I wasn't trying to like draw clicks to my website, but it was just kind of how I wanted to do it and how I wanted to express it.
I hope you call bigger events in your life than an Indiana football game.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
And recent Indiana basketball, let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You knew it was coming. You knew I was going to have to do that.
That's all right.
I mean, I'm going to pay for it later when Maryland loses. They've already lost in the women's game, and that was frustrating, but that'll happen.
They did. That was a good game.
That was a very good game. But I had to make an Indiana football joke because, again,
there you go. It's very easy right now. It is very easy.
No, it definitely is very easy, and Maryland has still lost eminently frustrating games to Indiana football, and it's very annoying when that happens. As I said, we try to make the rivalries, and the natural one is just Maryland, Indiana. I mean, we were too young for the 2002 national title game, but
yeah,
we were definitely too young. So obviously, where we work, primarily it's soccer, but recently they've added hockey, which I love. Obviously, I love hockey in spite of everything. And so now you're broadcasting hockey. I want to hear a little bit about that from your perspective, because very different sport for about 1,000 different reasons.
Yeah, it's weird. Once I started calling hockey, it was in the bubble season of the then NWHL, now PHF. It was almost like it's like soccer sped up times like 20 or even more than that. It's like it's just so fast. And when I was sort of getting into hockey, I felt like I was using some of the same phrases, and I almost had I went on online, and there's a lot of good broadcasting I guess websites out there, but I like wanted a sheet of like kind of just buzzwords for hockey, just to kind of plant in my brain kind of what I was seeing. And I also then started watching a lot of hockey, and I started doing the PHF when the Seattle Kraken were kind of coming to be. So it actually kind of worked out timing wise that I was watching quite a bit more hockey than I had been previously. And then I was getting to call hockey as well. So it kind of worked out perfectly in terms of I was watching and then being able to kind of apply what I was hearing to my own broadcasting. But yeah, hockey is totally different. I mean, it moves a million miles an hour. And I've actually come to really enjoy it. I love going to games. I love calling games. It's just so fast. It's just like it goes by in a snap of a finger, because it's just the puck's moving all the time. There's not a whole lot of stoppages. It just kind of goes, and it's really fun. And the quality in the league has also gotten like significantly better, even in just like the last couple of years. Like there's awesome international players that are coming in, even some players from the Canada and U.S. Olympic teams that are starting to come into the league. So it's definitely a league on the rise, and I've really enjoyed it so far.
I cannot imagine, and I know what the setup is, but I can't imagine what it's like, because I've tried it, and I'm obviously, people know me, I do a hockey podcast, I'm a huge hockey guy. So I've tried doing, you know, just play-by-play myself just to keep up, just in case a hockey opportunity comes off the screen. It's a miserable experience, and you're doing it all the time. And I just have to ask this one little broadcast question before I switch gears here to the real focus of this. It is, I mean, soccer off the screen is not really that difficult, but hockey off the screen, how hard for you? Because I find it to be really tricky, even if you know the ins and outs and you know the teams pretty well. hockey off screen is probably the hardest sport to do off the screen, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that. And I would also say surprisingly baseball is hard because you need to be seeing like so many different things at once that it's hard. But to your point on hockey, it's something I've definitely gotten used to. And it's just because I've done it now for a couple of years, but it's hard. And it's especially hard with just line changes, because if you're in the building, you can obviously see who's coming on and off the ice. But when there's a change, usually the puck is on one side or the other and they're not focused on the bench. So it's just kind of like, all right, like here comes five more players on, here comes five more players out. It's just constantly moving. So you have to be on top of numbers and players' names, I mean, very quickly. And that's definitely something that takes me a little bit to kind of get into the game and see whether they have long hair, whether they have like something on their skates or something that like is an easy identifier. So like those are things I'm looking for. But yeah, it's definitely a lot different than soccer. And it's just because it moves so quickly and it's just kind of the pace of that game.
The other thing I'll say on broadcasting before we move off of this is soccer has such a unique style that it's very hard if you have a soccer broadcasting background, as we both do, when you're doing another sport, to not fall into the same habits, because they don't go with any other sport. If you tried to do a soccer broadcast any other place, it would sound ridiculous.
Like, so, like the biggest thing is like, I can't say like 1-0. It's like, it's 1-0 or it's 1-0. It's not 1-0 in hockey.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some broadcasters do that in other sports and I go, okay, maybe not.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
But for this sport particular, as an out broadcaster, you thought it was important in soccer. It's way more important in this sport, which, as I am recording this on Wednesday, January 18th, everybody can see what's going on with hockey and our community. It's great, lovely, wonderful, great times. But for you, it's different in women's hockey as it is in men's hockey. I've said that many times. But being an out broadcaster in hockey, I don't, as I said, it kind of came to you that being an out broadcaster in soccer was important, but it kind of just happened by accident. With hockey, I think maybe it's a little more stark for you, because there are obviously great out women in women's hockey, and that's obviously hugely wonderful. But calling it from your perspective, and again, you're getting newer to this sport, so it's something that might take a little while to realize, but as you've kind of gotten into it and you realize just how far behind it is compared to everything else, is it significant to you that you're an out broadcaster broadcasting hockey? Because if it was me, knowing how much I care about this issue, particularly in this sport, it would be it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and it's kind of something I haven't necessarily thought of, just because, as you mentioned, the woman's side of the game is much more accepting. I would say, as you kind of just talked about, the men's side, I think, still has quite a bit of work to do.
Quite a bit, but is underselling it a little bit. You've been very diplomatic. You're way more diplomatic than me.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of just how my personality is. But yeah, it maybe isn't something that has hit me as much yet, kind of like I was saying with soccer, but it's awesome to see, like, one of the all-time best players in the PHF, her name is Madison Packer, went to Wisconsin. So she's a Big Ten person player. She's in an awesome relationship with Anya Packer, who is a former player. She was a former GM in the league. And so it's cool to kind of see those sorts of things just kind of intertwined into this league. And they're so proud of it. And it's honestly awesome to see. And they're not the only ones in this league also. So this is a league that's on the rise, and I think it's a community that is very accepting of those sorts of people. So to be able to kind of be in that position, it's kind of similar to the NWSL as well. I think I'm very happy to kind of be on that path with those leagues as they continue to grow and as they are very accepting places.
It's funny because these things kind of happen by accident. You just have to be in the right place. And in your case, you've been in a place where they do both of these leagues, and that's obviously rare, but it's funny how for you, it's just sort of happened. You know, you just, again, it's not accidental. You're in the right place at the right time. There's obviously luck involved, but thinking about calling, you know, two very prominent women's leagues as you are understanding yourself, as a time when, you know, these leagues are obviously gaining more popularity, but the issues that we care about so deeply are getting more prominent. It's pretty cool. And as I said, in soccer, American soccer obviously is a pretty accepting place for all of its faults. Hockey is it's different a little bit, but you're finding how just sometimes being in the right place and being able to take advantage of the opportunity, you can create some history and create some positive momentum for the community without even really thinking that you're doing it. Right. And it's kind of interesting from my perspective, where I'm actively thinking about it quite a bit. And for you, it's a part of you, but it's a part of you that's coming, you're coming into your own, you're finding it as opposed to be searching it out.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the biggest part of it. Like it's obviously not lost in me that I came out and it was all very kind of intentional how I wanted to do it. As I said, I did it how I wanted to do it, but to kind of be in this position, and I've obviously started just thinking about it even just more during this podcast. I mean, it's very cool what I'm doing, and that's not lost on me. And like I said earlier, if it's forging a path, like that's so cool. But at the same time, it's like I just have a job to do, and I love doing my job, and I feel fortunate to be in the position I am. So it would honestly be awesome if I can continue to kind of rise up the rankings in this industry, because then the community can say like he's one of us. Like that, I think that would be a pretty cool thing. And if it's not me, hopefully it's somebody else that can do it. But hopefully it is me. I mean, that'd be pretty cool. But
I'll take your spot if things go sideways. I hope they don't, obviously, but I'm here. I'm waiting.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, hopefully kind of as the years, weeks, months, whatever you want to say, go by, hopefully I can kind of forge that path for others. And hopefully some others can kind of come on the journey with me as well.
So as we wrap this up, just to get your general thoughts on, you know, on all that you've done, whether you've thought about it actively or not, and where you think this is heading. Obviously, there's a lot more soccer to come, way more, as the sport gets more and more popular and more leagues pop up. And where do you want this to go? Because, like, you've kind of found yourself in a position where it wasn't your number one sport, but now you're doing soccer quite frequently, and then hockey comes along. These are sports that, you know, I would kill to do. But sometimes you never know, you know, what ends up being the sport you do more often than not. So where do you think this goes for you, just from not just a professional perspective, just from personally? Because at some point, maybe something changes and you're in a bigger position. And again, the number of out broadcasters is still very, very tiny. So whoever among us does it will probably make history just by being there. Mm-hmm. So what are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the fun of it, is like, I don't necessarily know what's next. I mean, like when I moved down to Florida right out of college in 2019, I literally just like found like an Airbnb, because I was like, I may only be here from May until November. Like, that's just what it was. And I didn't really think about kind of what was going to come next year. And I feel like in this business, I'm on such like a year-to-year basis that I'm technically a freelancer. So I'm not guaranteed. Yeah, I know. Right. So I'm not guaranteed anything past my next game, which happens to be tonight, and or whatever's on the schedule now. But I mean, so that's kind of just how I think about it. But obviously I definitely have some goals. And I mean, there's obviously a big tournament coming to this country in about 3 years. That would be pretty cool to be a part of. So, I mean, it's like those sorts of things that kind of keep me pushing forward and wanting to move up the ladder. And I'm obviously very eager, but I also realize I'm only 25 years old. So like I'm still very young. I want to grow as quick as I can in this industry. But I do kind of have to put things in perspective that this business kind of takes a while to get moving. And not that age should hold anyone back. I mean, you see plenty of young broadcasters already on linear TV, ESPN, CBS, whatever it may be, all the time. So it's just kind of something that whatever comes my way, I'll take it in stride, and hopefully I can just kind of climb as high as I can, because as you mentioned, it'd be pretty cool to say like I was the first out broadcaster to do this or that. And it's honestly, that's not something I'm thinking about now, because it's I feel like that's so far away, but maybe it's not. So I guess kind of we'll just have to see what happens in the next months and years.
You've been doing a lot of things as firsts, as an out man at the very least, in a business where there isn't, well, any of them, pretty much, other than a handful. And none of them are doing it at a particularly high level, even if we all would want to. And again, history sometimes happens by accident.
Yeah.
And in our case, in our business, we're doing it because we want to. And you have to be really, really into this business to want to keep doing it with all the things you go through.
Mm-hmm.
But the history you make, sometimes it can happen, again, just by doing it. Accident or on purpose, however you want to put it. And yeah, it's important to be able to say that you have. And it's important to be able to say that you can continue to do that. Because there are going to be people out there who want to be sports broadcasters. Men, women, whoever. And they want to see that they can. Because it doesn't matter who's broadcasting the games and what service they're on. Somebody's going to have to talk about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Josh, let everybody know where they can find you and your work. I know, but they may not.
Yeah, so pretty easy on Twitter, at Josh Eastern. Glad I kind of got that one early on. You can find my website, josheastern.wordpress.com. And, of course, as the season gets going with the NWSL, Paramount Plus is the place to watch the NWSL. Yeah, so those are mainly the places you can find me. And I'll always be tweeting about what games I have coming up, so you can definitely find out there.
It's great to see people getting introduced to you if they didn't know you already. Thanks for hopping on, Josh. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Matt.